Welcome to the Crude Life Podcast. My name is Jason Spies. This is a very special feature on Hurricane Harvey and the impact it is having on other shale plays across the United States. Hurricane Harvey is considered the worst natural disaster in history by many, but what it may have caused in damages, it has not broken their spirit. In the aftermath of the storm, individuals, companies, and organizations are banding together to help those who have been affected, and among them is the oil and gas industry. Several companies have already made more than $3.5 million available to assist the American Red Cross, the United Way, and other organizations in providing relief efforts. Others are expanding or opening up existing programs to provide higher matching contributions from employees and coordinating employee volunteer groups to help, especially since the water has receded and cleanup has begun. The Texas Oil and Gas Association has been working with member companies and other oil and gas associations across the country looking for ways to help. The Texas Oil and Gas Association is recommending considering one of the following organizations for those wishing to help with the relief efforts: the Red Cross, Salvation Army, Greater Houston Community Foundation Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund, the Houston Food Bank, and the Austin Disaster Relief Network. Now, all of those links are available at our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. And once again, those are the organizations that the Texas Oil and Gas Association is asking those people looking to help, if they want to do it directly, to go to those websites and donate to the Red Cross, Salvation Army, Greater Houston Community Foundation Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund, the Houston Food Bank, and the Austin Disaster Relief Network. Again, all of those links are available at our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. And as we circle around back to our Hurricane Harvey impact feature, we have another exclusive interview for you. Stephen Hines, energy columnist and owner of The Word Merchant. All right, being joined now by Professor Hines, Professor Stephen Hines, the Word Merchant, and the, of course, his latest stint as professor. University of Tulsa is where you can catch him during his latest stint. So how are you doing today, Professor?
I'm doing pretty good, Jason. How about yourself?
Oh, not doing too bad.
I have to get used to being called professor because I've sort of been, if you will, I suppose acting like a professor, but never sort of thinking of myself that way.
Well, we're happy we could have the professor on to talk about different oil and gas layered things, if you will. It's nice when you can have a professor on because then you can layer things together, like the economy, one of the hardest things to predict, harder than oil and gas, harder than the climate. Well, maybe not. The climate's the hardest thing to predict. But anyway, let's talk about Hurricane Harvey and how that is going to impact the shale play economy, if you will. We had a refinery shut down. There's some other facilities, whether it be natural gas and that sort of thing, that either went on hiatus or shut down, something along those lines. Obviously, the hurricane not only has had its humanitarian toll, but it's also having an economic toll. So let's talk a little bit about that, Professor Hines. What do you make about this?
You know, I've been going through the arguments. As you know, I think 40 or so Google alerts, so I get news from around the world on a lot of these subjects. So I've been, you know, thinking about it and following, you know, the effects of Harvey on oil supply and all that. And I think what I can gather right now, Jason, is that there's going to be a wash between the people who haven't been able to use natural gas against, you know, I think only one refinery, and that's in Louisiana, is really shut down. So I think if anything, there's going to be a downward pressure, you know, on prices right now. But I think it's in the U.S.'s favor that this pressure, because we continue to upgrade our infrastructure, and a lot of it, especially natural gas and all, is underground, so it is not as exposed to the weather as, you know, transmission lines, for example.
My guess is Wall Street's keeping a pretty close eye on this, wouldn't you think?
And that's another thing. I think I've seen three or four Wall Street reports already on the net effect of Harvey. And, of course, you know, is what their predictions are. You and I both know we've been around for a while. Predictions are okay. To quote Yogi Berra, don't make predictions, especially about the future. So in all honesty, I think that a certain amount of humility goes a long way in this whole area. And so I never like this jump on it immediately part of Wall Street and, you know, their research. It never feels complete.
How about gas prices? You hear anything on gas prices? I mean, it kind of seems like the price of oil was going down and gas prices were going up.
Well, I think that has as much to do with refineries and regional differences right now. And I guess also state taxes and all of that. So, to tell you the truth, I don't really even follow, you know, sort of the retail gas prices. You know, because on my last trip when I saw you out in North Dakota, you know, it varied between Minnesota and North Dakota and Wisconsin. And, you know, I think it really has to do almost as much with the federal regulation as anything else right now.
Yeah, I kind of stopped following gas prices, too. When people started blaming some natural disaster in the Middle East, I was like, well, what's that got to do with me in North Dakota?
Well, you know, again, there is a big disconnect between the local effect and sort of the national, international effect. So I think that's one of the things that has astonished me is the reporting of the usual suspects in their headlines is just, you know, it's kind of off the charts. And I'm gonna name names right now. It's okay. They can't hurt me. They can't find Sheboygan to hurt me. But the New York Times had a headline a couple days ago, I think I haven't sent it to you, you know, about the hurricane that humans helped cause. And another, and I want to see, who is it? Another one of those sort of energy faddish sort of websites, you know, said that Harvey is the future thanks to climate change. No, wait a minute, let's not get ahead of ourselves. You know, I think that internationally, in all honesty, I think places like South Africa are going to approve it. I think you're going to see this, I think, what is it, Lancashire in England is going through the testing right now. They're slowly going to come online, and South Africa is talking about it. But I think that in some ways the shale play has as much to do with international energy and the growing competitiveness of the United States. Now, I think we have to get one thing straight. We have to do a more thoughtful job of transmission and pipeline and updates, if you will, because it doesn't do anybody any good not to improve the infrastructure, because it's out there. I mean, the technology's out there. So, I wish it would be more depoliticized, as far as I'm concerned. Because they're just, you know, it's really divided. It's divided this country. I suppose it's divided the world. But, you know, who's representing the economy of the United States, you know? That's what I'd like to know. And the private sector, which is one of the things I've always liked about your work and what you've been doing, is that while you don't ignore the media or the state, you know, yours is the sense that the private sector has done all the heavy lifting, and frankly will continue to do all the heavy lifting in all of this. Emission reduction, efficient energy efficiency, those are two different concepts, really. Efficient energy really is the creating of the energy by the utility, and energy efficiency is by the end user, as far as I can see, as far as a definition. And frankly, thank you for not asking, but I'm sure you are. You know, this is a matter of definition. We've entered a world of definition, and they've made words very political. You know, so climate change to one person, you know, has to be everywhere. The fact that the EPA took change out of their reports and off the website, so it only reached climate, which seems to be a more balanced approach. But, you know, the environmental community is howling because they're losing their climate change, and it's, you know, it's central place in any kind of energy future. But, you know, I think really what's going, if you're following the courts right now, Jason, the environmental extremists are losing sort of inch by inch, but they have a lot of money and they are fighting everything. You know, every idea other than renewables right now. And that's in the courts. I mean, I get inside EPA, which is a compilation of what's being handled by the EPA. I get, it's a weekly, and it shows all of the actions going on right now. And from the time of Obama to now, the total text is about one-fifth of what it used to be. So in some ways, the legal actions have been almost, you know, ended by the EPA, but now the environmental communities are spending it and causing court actions. And you know, and one last thing, you know, the fact that they have a lot of soldiers on the ground, so you have a lot of people who have a sense of moral superiority, who are trying to, you know, stop the world. I don't know.
Oh, you know me. I think there's, you know, the environmental recycling, and just it's turned into an anti-crusade against energy and almost gone into a religion. And so it's difficult, you know. I mean, it's hard to have civilized conversations with in regards to that. So anyway, Professor Hines, hang on.
My business model since I've been in the business 20 years has been let's talk about practical environmentalism, and let's not forget that the real innovation will come from the private sector, and let's lower the volume and increase the subjects within energy we can discuss and debate.
Okay, so Professor Hines with the word merchant, let's talk about the word merchant. Give yourself a plug. Talk about your newsletter, your website, that sort of thing. If you got those, your Facebook. Just how can people get in touch with you and correspond with you?
Well, you know, as you know, I have both a LinkedIn site, which is pretty extensive. The only thing that's not on there, I have three or four recommendations that I'm kind of proud of. They haven't been added yet, but so I have my LinkedIn. I've entered the last 50 subscribers or connections to get to 10,000 on LinkedIn. So it's under Stephen Hines, the word merchant. You can find me on LinkedIn, and my website is TMWHines.com. Sorry, TMWHines.com. What I have tried to do is remain a calm, quiet voice in both of those venues, and I really would enjoy having a robust discussion on all of these sub issues. You know, pipeline transmission, new power plants, coal. I think all of these things are not through being discussed. And frankly, the fact that Southern Company and Georgia is going to go out and finish their nuclear power plant is really good news, I think, for the portfolio of energy we use. So that I sort of try to represent a broader view and one that includes the other continents, which I think separates me from a lot of people, because all they want to do is talk about back down home and here in the U.S. And I don't think that's the right discussion. So anyway. My friends call me Reverend Hines. Why? Because I'm a little, I like talking about it, and I have some clear-cut ideas that I'd like to communicate it with you if possible. But anyway, so for the promotion I'm doing, as of today or tomorrow, I'm going to start a daily word at the word merchant, and I'm going to send it out daily. It'll cover one really story with some comments about the broader picture for me, And, you know, I'm thinking it's going to be a hit. And then I'm going to start adding information on the different sectors, Jason, and offer that extra information if companies are interested in it. Because, you know, good information, good intel goes a long way, whether you're fighting a war or you're dealing with the war of capital and resources. And but let's not forget that, let's not shoot any guns. But anyway, but thank you for this opportunity. I look forward to it. I am very active, as you know, Jason. So, you know, you and I, somehow 3 years ago, we got started, and our friendship has evolved. And it's been great fun, and I look forward to dealing with these issues in the future with you.
To listen to the full-length interview with Stephen Hines, energy columnist and owner of The Word Merchant, or to listen to other Hurricane Harvey impact features, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. And I do want to mention one more time, for those people interested in participating or being a part of the relief effort, the Texas Oil and Gas Association has been working with member companies and other oil and gas associations looking for ways to help. The Texas Oil and Gas Association recommends considering one of the following organizations for those wishing to help with the relief effort: the Red Cross, Salvation Army, Greater Houston Community Foundation Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund, the Houston Food Bank, Austin Disaster Relief Network. That's the Red Cross, Salvation Army, Greater Houston Community Foundation Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund, the Houston Food Bank, and the Austin Disaster Relief Network. All of those links and organizations can be found at our website, thecrudelife.com. That is thecrudelife.com. And that's going to do it for this special feature on the impact of Hurricane Harvey. Till next time, my name is Jason Spies, asking you to be happy and remember, sometimes life can just be crude.